Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 5th of October 2008. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. Well, it was harvest this week and we've got something a bit different for you. Instead of a sermon, we focused on the work of some projects over in Uganda. You'll hear about Operation Agri, the local West Somerset Community College's trip to Uganda last year, some beekeeping, and the Compassion Project that we sponsor over in Uganda. We had some technical problems today at church, including all of the power going out at one point, but I hope you'll bear with us. And because it's a rather audio-visual presentation, I've put some slides up over at minehead-baptist.com/sermons, so you can look along as well as you listen. Not all of the slides are over there, but hopefully you'll get an idea of what was going on. So we'll go and join Andy as he's introducing the service.
For the next half hour or so, we're going to have four contributions from a variety of people. So make yourselves comfortable. First of all, a little bit later, we're going to have a video of Operation Agri, which is a Baptist agricultural mission agency working in Uganda. I feel the Lord very generously has given us a natural focus on Uganda today. It was their material, the country that they're particularly focusing on. But before we come to that, could I have the first slide, Jeff? If the power's back on. Here we go. Welcome to Uganda. Are we there? Here it comes. Okay. Welcome to Uganda. It's a beautiful land. It's a beautiful land. Could we go to the next slide? And the next one. And here is a picture of Uganda. A map of Uganda. Operation Agri operates, we'll hear, in Mbale, Busia and Kampala here. We're also going to hear from some of our students that went out to Uganda earlier this year. Whereabouts did you go, by the way? Where was it in the country? Where's that?
West of Kampala.
Okay, so there's Kampala. So west, in that big area there, that's where they went. And Julian went to a little village. He'll tell you a little bit about it. Right in this bottom corner, right down there, on the border of Congo and Rwanda. And we're going to go to various places. But first, let me ask you guys. Do you want to come up? And they're going to tell us who's going first. They went with the college on a trip to Uganda earlier this year. They're going to tell us a little bit about it. Come on, guys. They're terribly nervous. Don't be nervous. Just be heard. That's it.
What do we do?
If that's going to be enough, that'll be enough. This is Adam. This is Abby. And this is Jess. See, they're a friendly bunch. And Joe also. Joe Sanderson went but is unable to be here this morning. So these three are going to take us through. And we've got some slides too. Thanks.
I don't know what the slides are, so this should be fun. But, yes, from... last summer, between the 9th and 24th of July, we went to Kenjojo District of Uganda. Look, there we are. And, from students of the West Somerset Community College went over, and it was just...
Handheld.
It's not working. Right, yeah. Brilliant. Is that working?
That's better.
Brilliant. Okay. We went over there between the 9th and 24th of July. Combination of a year's fundraising work from us. We went... we've been fundraising over the years to pay for flights and hotels and everything. And we went over there to reinforce the links with the Mabele Tea Factory. You might have heard about this with the college. It's kind of fair trade tea thing that's been produced and been sold in places. I don't know where. Talk to me afterwards because I might remember. But yeah, Miles are doing is yeah between that. But we went to kind of talk to them a bit more about it and kind of reinforce the links so we can get more things. We can get like trade packs so we can sell to businesses rather than just people. And we also went to kind of make links with a local secondary school over there, Buhemba Secondary School, which is at the secondary school that a lot of the tea factory people, they send their children there. And what was I going to say? Yeah, well, we went there to set up an educational exchange, mainly because we felt that it was something that we wanted to do, and we felt that it's something that could have a future with college. And we also went to help set up a farm unit and develop an area of their land so that we could kind of teach them some farming practices, but also so they could have so the skills needed to do farming and to have agricultural skills, and so that they could have some crops to eat at lunchtime, because at the moment they don't have anything. So it's completely different. But can we move on to the next slide? That's kind of scary. Oh, look, there we are. There we are at the tea factory. That's even worse. We're all squinting. Go to the next one again. Yeah, there we are. That's good. You can tell them to move on, I think. There we are. Yeah, there's us all building the fence. But we went to kind of set everything up and just make it all better. And then because we were in Uganda and it's close to the equator, and you know, we had some time off, we thought we'd go on safari for a while. So yeah, there's probably some pictures of that somewhere along the line. They're all up there, but yeah. That was the reason why we went. But we also went to kind of give us an idea of what the third world was like, because no matter how much you see of it on TV and what the inflation price in Zimbabwe is, or how many people have died in some natural disaster in the Indonesia or whatever, it's completely different. And it's, to be immersed in the culture is something that you can't experience unless you go there. And so, it's very difficult to describe, but yeah. And it's more trivial for us, but not for them, is we went to give them some sports equipment, because we've been collecting the Tesco Sports for Schools vouchers, and we don't need it, so we thought we'd send them out there where it would be needed. So they had volleyball nets and footballs and netballs and everything, and we kind of distributed between them and the primary school. And yeah, it was really good because we got to play football at the end of it as well. So yeah. Right, Jess, it's your turn.
When we were in Uganda, we all got like different pet names, which meant like different things which the school children gave us. Like,
I'm Aboli.
I'm Arali.
And I'm Amorti, which all mean different things. We also all received friendship because we have like a partner over there who's going to be coming back like later this year.
Jess is scared. Okay. What else? What we got was mainly the experience of it, because, like I said, it's completely different, and we get more of an appreciation of Uganda, we get more of an appreciation of the African culture, but more what they go through, and that they're still the happiest people in the world. It's incredible to us when we think, I guess, they've got sunshine. That's my excuse. We've just got. Yeah, they're happy because it's sunny. That's what it is. We picked up a few words of the local language. Many trade words, because we were building a fence. So I think Sengenge is barbed wire. Oliota is hello. So we do know, conversation. What else? Enkondo is posts or something. Yeah, it's just, yeah. We had to go to a trade shop and ordered 2.5 kilometres of barbed wire, which seemed to confuse them. But yeah, and Jess got an egg, because we went to primary school and they were all in awe of us, basically. So Jess got an egg. Right. Can you do the next bit, or are you going to do the next bit? Okay.
Okay. What they got was the fence, obviously, the bit that we fenced off. They got all the sport and equipment and an understanding of what the Western world is like from our point of view. They got the skills that they learned while we was working with them on the fence, how to build it and carry on building the next plot after we've gone home. We also, after we'd finished building, planted lots of different trees to make it sustainable, because while we was there, we chopped down a huge tree to build the Benson unit out of. And they got our friendship, which we was really glad to give and to receive back. What happens next is our partner school comes to Minehead next July, which will cement our exchange program. We are continuing to fundraise to bring them back here. And one idea we have is to sponsor plots of land out there, which will sustain the program and the project. They're developing their farm unit and hope eventually to grow their own produce from it, which they will then sell to their developing links with the Mbali Tea Factory. I think that's pretty much it. But overall, we really enjoyed it, and we all felt that we gained something from it, and we came back changed with an understanding of so many more things that we could have learned just from studying it here. And we hope that we made a difference out there, and we can continue with our partnership.
Thank you very much.
There's no doubt. Timing is everything. Timing is everything. Okay. That's great. Thank you very much. There's no doubt, you know, that as Abby said, to go and see and feel and touch and smell and just be involved in all these things has a great learning impact. And one of the things that we want to do next year is send a small team out to Uganda to go and visit the compassion ministry that we as a church are involved in. I'll come back to that in a moment, but thanks very much indeed. Julian is going to come. You remember a number of months ago, he came and shared with us something about his beekeeping, and he went out there. But since, he's been out again, and he's just going to spend a few minutes updating us on that. Thank you.
This is a Ugandan beehive, so I'll put it up here and see if we can catch a swarm while I'm speaking. Incidentally, I'm only allowed to speak for 5 minutes, so there won't be much chance of catching a swarm, but there we are. Incidentally, how many farmers are in the room? How many farmers? Two of us. Three of us. Fantastic. Well, praise God anyway for the harvest. It was a pretty difficult one, wasn't it? Okay, Norman? Okay, well, I'm just going to update you a little bit on... Do you want me to stand here? Okay. Why I went to Uganda? Well, I went in last February. I spoke to you before I went. The reason for me going was to find out whether I wanted to devote the next 10 years to going out to Uganda and working on a project out there. This I did. I spent a month out there, had a fantastic time, all of which I can't go into now, but I'll just highlight a couple of things that happened. And I liked it, and I will be going back every year for the next 10 years. Anyway, first of all, I want this opportunity to thank those of you who prayed for me when I was out there. Now, I know some of you prayed. I don't know who'd prayed for me, but I know some of you did. I was on my tot out there. I was going into wild places. I was going into churches, strange churches, completely different, really Pentecostal, actually, which suits me. But it was quite wild, and thank you very much for praying. And you prayers, don't forget to pray, because it really does have power. Two experiences. What did I do out there? A, I did the bees, which I'll come back onto very quickly in a minute. I went into quite a few churches. I preached quite a lot. I thought the word that I went out with was do not put God in a box, because I feel that so many people, especially in this country, they put God in a box, and they have a preconception of what God should be like, and if he doesn't work out to what he should be like, they get very annoyed. But so that was it. But incidentally, I went to one church, and they said, well, what we need out here is doctrine. So next time I go, they wanted me to take a team out next time. They wanted to do a rally. They wanted to do the whole thing in the middle of towns and things. But I feel I'm not that sort. So we may go back with a teaching on doctrine for 7 churches that they've asked me to go to. So that was one fantastic experience. The other one was that since I've been 21, I have had as my main searching phrase, blessed be the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And lo and behold, I went into one church, and there, blazing across the wall, right across, was blessed be the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Do you know what? I was absolutely gobsmacked, and they asked me to preach there, and God anointed me, and away we went, and it was fantastic. But that was fantastic. And the other church experience I had, if this is all right, I had a Samuel experience, which was absolutely amazing for me. I was woken up in the middle of the night, Miriam, Miriam, Miriam. Oh, what? Yeah, all right. So I went back to sleep. I was woken up again. Miriam, Miriam, Miriam. Three times, right? Three times, just like Samuel. Miriam, Miriam, Miriam. So I thought, oh, yeah, okay. I went back to sleep. And in the morning, I woke up with this Miriam, Miriam, Miriam in my mind. So I went to the pastor that I was staying with, fantastic guy, and I said, have you got a Miriam in your church? He said, no, we haven't. So anyway, I kept it in the back burner. Anyway, I went to preach and teach some kids, some tiny kids, about 80 tiny kids, right up on the top of the hill. And I went into the church and the pastor said to me, he said, well, this is John who teaches. And then he said, and this is Miriam. I said, Miriam? I said, Miriam? So I said to him, look, tell Miriam God's got a word for me to give to Miriam. So he did. And after the service, to cut a long story short, I went back to the pastor's place in a mud hut there, and Miriam was with me. And then I suddenly thought, oh, God, what do you want me to speak? What do you want me to tell her? You know how it is? You get given a word to tell somebody, and then I didn't know. Anyway, I said, God, what do you want me to say? And he said to ask her if she was praying for anything. I said, Miriam, are you praying for something at the moment? She just burst out in tears. And I said, well, look, God is on your case. God is going to answer your prayers. And that was it. But wasn't that fantastic? Anyway, it was fantastic for me. And I gave away a lot of Gideon Bibles. Okay, let's get on to the beekeeping, which I went to have a look at. Now, these are beekeepers' hives, and the idea that they're like that, but a lot bigger. So the idea was to go to Uganda and find out whether I got on with the beekeepers. Next slide, please. The idea of my mission statement, actually, and this is Kasaro Honey Producers, is to improve the quality of life of Kasaro bee farmers and their families. Families, not just the bee farmers. About 500 bee farmers, but their families is what we want to educate. Educating and training, fair trade prices for the honey, and better processing and marketing. That, in fact, that picture is a view from the church that I preached three times at, taught the kids, taught their disciple groups, and preached, went to a service for 3 hours. That's the view from the church. Fantastic. Okay, next slide. There's some of the training, tailoring. What the idea is that with the money that we make and the donations we get from this country, we educate and train 12 people on sewing, 12 people on knitting, 12 people on carpentry, 12 people on computer skills, and I don't know whether Judith has set it up yet, 12 people on catering. She had already done that in Kampala, and so the whole thing. So that's the idea, 12, 12, 12, for 12 months. At the end of 12 months, they get a certificate from the government saying that they are trained in that. Nearly finished. they get a training in, they get a certificate saying they've been fully trained in that, and Tools for a Mission, which is their representative here, send knitting machines, sewing machines, carpentry tools, these tools. This chap here, incidentally, there, all he had for making Langstroth's hives, European hives, was a saw and a chisel, and he had a lump of wood as a hammer. That guy was amazing, the chap showing me how he did it there. And these tools go out, but at the end of their 12 months, they get a knitting machine, sewing machine, carpentry equipment, computer, and then they're set out in the world. So every year, 36 to 48 kids, teenagers, are educated. There they are there. And there's me giving a lecture. Next one. That's a training. I did a couple of training sessions when I was there. People involved in the project are the Alex, marvelous man. He's a manager. I one day want to fly him over here so you guys can meet him. He's amazing. And I hope him help him make his house as well. He's building a house. He's got the land. He's got the bricks in a pile, but he hasn't got enough money to make the house yet. He's got a family and a young kid. Right, next one. That's us going out into the swamps. Richard and I went out in the swamps to look at beehives. Fantastic slab of brood there. And the rumour went round afterwards when we had gone through about 4 hours of traipsing through this swamp that we were going to buy it. And it went right round the whole area of Uganda. Next one. David there, marvellous farmer, same age as I am, 61. Absolutely incredible farmer. If you ever come to Uganda with us or go out there, you will meet this chap. He is an ace farmer and beekeeper. Next one, please. There's a gathering of bee farmers there. Look at this chap over here shaking Alex's hand. Aren't they lovely? We love them. We love the Ugandans. Fabulous. Okay, next one. there's a log hive being made, they'll pay £3 for that. Okay, next one. There again, Dan, the fellow you met here, he stood on this platform and talked to you, the one in the middle. Okay, and there's a hive right in the middle of the swamp. Next one, please. Working a hive, next one. Working a hive. Slab of honey, that's what we go for, isn't it? Golden, beautiful. Here we are, look. Absolutely, the same stuff in this country. Right. Hexmoor honey. Say no more. Okay, next one. Now, Kasara Honey Producers Uganda, this is the team of us. Funds are needed for equipment, smokers, productive clothing, etc. Now, the tailors make equipment for the beekeepers out there, and the knitting people make uniforms for the schools, etc. But that's what we need. Purchasing honey from the bee farmers, we haven't quite had enough to buy 2 tons this year. I wanted to buy 2 tons this year, 4 tons next year, and 8 tons a year after. But I just haven't got enough money to do that. Wages for managers and trainers, and support for the students. And that's it. Okay, so come on guys, get on board to Uganda. We're all keen on Uganda. We love the Ugandans. And there was one drumming here last Sunday, fabulous. Yes. I love that guy, he's been out to the farm and they're lovely people. So God bless you all.
Well done.
Okay.
And we just love your enthusiasm as well, mate. Fantastic. Fred was going to be here, but Fred and Jenny are very unwell, I'm afraid. And so I'm sort of speaking on his behalf, on behalf of Compassion. You know that Fred and Jenny are sort of representatives of Compassion, and they go around from church to church speaking about Compassion. They did it. We had a day here last January and in November of the previous year, and about sponsoring children and we have linked in with a church, a project called the Karanda Childcare Project, which is, and we as a church are partnering with Pastor Fred. Now that's an appropriate name, isn't it? And what a wonderful name, Pastor Fred, and the Karanda Full Gospel Church in Uganda, just south of Kampala, about 56 kilometres south of Kampala. Can we have a show the map where it is? Actually, it's here. This, you see Miss Masaka up here, just there. The project is just north of that. At the moment, the project has a building which is owned by the church, doesn't have electricity, has no telephone, and the church has no ministry connections. It's an independent church right in the middle of this country, except for Minehead Baptist Church and 2 Ugandan churches. It's being supported by 3 churches in the world. We are one of them, which is a great privilege. The project currently has 201 children, of which only 120 are currently sponsored. So there are 81 children that are part of this project that still need sponsorship. And we would urge you, if you're interested, to contact Fred and Jenny set up an arrangement where you can build a relationship with a child to help them in Uganda. The project is changing people's lives, and already a harvest for God amongst the parents and the children. And here are some pictures of the children. In this church, I think we sponsor about 36 of them. I think there might be 18 or so there. There they are. Some of you here today will recognise the child that you sponsor. There's 18 of them. And the other 18, should be a second slide there. Those are children that are sponsored directly by people here in Minehead Baptist Church. And we would love to extend that support to many others too. And it's to this project that we would like to send a few people from this church. Like we've been told this morning, there's nothing better than than personal contact with these folks. We'll keep those pictures up before us because that reminds us what it's all about. Karinda, the town, is home to approximately 5,000 residents. And a typical house, we will just have a look at a typical house so that we get
an impression, understanding of where they are. Next slide, please, Jeff. And then we can come back to have those before us. Ooh, there should be another slide there, I thought. The project itself is in need of electricity, telephone lines, musical instruments, educative films, Bibles, Christian literature, safe drinking water. At present, water is got from ponds, and of course that can be a great health hazard to the residents. The nearest medical facility is 7 kilometres away, and this is obviously a very long distance for an ill child to have to walk or be carried. And in addition, the terrain is not always good, so it takes a long time to travel. And there are only 4 doctors to every 100,000 people in Uganda. Imagine your doctor having 25,000 patients on his or her list. The project needs to construct a hall or community building as a centre, and they also need prayer support, especially when doing evangelism in what is a predominantly Muslim village. Fred says, each of us here this morning knows full well there are many charities out there all making appeals to our pockets. We know that, don't we? So why is compassion so special? What makes compassion stand out among other child development and or sponsorship organisations? Compassion has 4 very distinctive values. 1, it is Christ-centred. Without any coercion, compassion teaches the life-changing gospel to every child in a culturally appropriate way. It is child-focused. Compassion directly engages each child as a complete person, the aim being the child will be Christian in faith and deed, will support themselves and will share with others in need. To become responsible members of their family, of their families, churches, communities and nations, and also to maintain their physical well-being. Compassion is church-based. This is absolutely key. Compassion believes that the church is God's chosen vehicle for providing children with the life-changing message of the gospel. And we've got to remember as we think about all these things, this isn't us in this country trying to do good, trying to help others in that sense. It is about us supporting Christians in local communities, in local churches, sharing the love of God with their neighbours and with people around them. And compassion is committed to integrity. So how does this impact on us? All who sponsor through compassion, whether in the church project or with the children you had before on this project, you are frontline harvesters, reapers in the fields that are white for harvest. You may not feel as though you are, but you are, because compassion focuses on individual child development rather than broader community development work. During 53 years of development work, compassion has seen various approaches to breaking the cycle of poverty in children's lives. And he says this in bright red. In that time, compassion has discovered that changed circumstances rarely change people's lives. But changed people inevitably change society. And that is at the heart of what sponsoring a child is all about. Compassion's primary focus is individual child care and development. And that happens through our sponsoring, through enabling them to have access to education, healthcare, so on and so forth. But also to be able to build a relationship with these children by letter writing and even possibly visiting. And I got a letter from the child we sponsor this week. And you know, she told me that she loves going to church. That's good, isn't it? And then she said, and her services are 6 hours long. Yeah? So we've got until 3 this afternoon. Fascinating, isn't it? Harvest is all about God's provision. As sponsors, we are sowing and watering the seed for that harvest. And because of us, compassion is able to reap a harvest for God. Last year, 102,000 children gave their lives to Jesus. Is money tight for you at the moment, Fred says. I wish I could do this in Fred's way, but I can't. But he says, God's wisdom says, give some away. Remember, God is no man's debtor. God, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And as we heard in Philippians 4, God will meet all your needs as we share our resources with others. I do encourage you. Sorry that's been a bit reading, but he sent this to me by email this morning. But I do encourage you to, if it's something you'd like to be involved in, to talk to Fred and Jenny about sponsoring a child in Uganda and making a world of difference. What we're going to do now is we're going to watch a DVD by Operation Agri, which is working in those three centres in Uganda. And I hope you enjoy. It's been great for me preparing today to see all these different elements, but this is about the work of Operation Agri. Basically, Operation Agri are working in those three areas of Uganda, and they are, again, offering training to local people, training in tailoring, and that sort of work. Their main function that you can see going on here is in training in agricultural
methods. Busia Agriculture Project.
We'll just keep rolling.
One of the hardest tasks is digging with hoes to plant crops. So Paul brought the innovation of ox ploughs. Oxen were not used in Busia because the tsetse flies carry fatal cattle disease. But medicines can now treat this. Farmers had to learn to handle oxen, not easy at first. Oxen are costly, so Paul organized groups of 30 farmers and gave each group an ox team and plough funded by Operation Agri. Now they really are gaining ground, ground that was often unused for crops before. Paul asks each group to appoint two community farmer trainers. They learn improved techniques and then demonstrate them to their group. The farmers can use this ploughed land for cash crops like pineapples. Milton is one of the community trainers.
So we are not supposed to plant going downstream. We go cross to bar that water which could have carried away the topsoil and more especially the compost we use.
Margaret was widowed 3 years ago when her husband was tragically killed. She greatly values the support of her church. Working on the farm to support her family is hard, but she's keen. She's learnt the value of compost and mulching with dry grass to keep the soil moist and prevent weeds. Margaret is one of the few women to be selected as a community trainer. She's proud of her pineapples. There's a ready market in the towns for fruit like pineapples and watermelons. Pastor Egesa, another community trainer, grows coffee. Paul advises him on pruning and bending branches so more coffee cherries grow and they're easier to reach. The pastor has started intercropping maize, beans and cassava, as Paul recommends, so they fertilize each other. But Paul sees a problem.
So this one has a disease, you see? This is cassava mosaic. It's affected.
He says plant the next cassava crop far away to starve the disease. Gideon was one of the first to join the Busia agriculture scheme. He and his wife work hard to develop their farm. Their goats are penned at night, and the droppings are swept through the slats to collect for making compost. Their grain store is well stocked, and rats are kept out by simple metal guards, as advised by Paul. This month, Gideon's farm is the venue for the training session for Milton, Margaret, and the others. Today, they're learning about mulching to keep soil moist and about organic methods to keep it fertile. First the theory, then the practice.
One of this solution to, and then you apply to the crops.
Making good compost is vital and requires several layers of greenery and ash, goat droppings and water, and dry grass. Gideon shows the group his bananas. He cuts off diseased or dying leaves that harbour weevils. He uses the suckers to expand his banana plot, planting them in a large hole with compost.
Your banana will not be easily affected by drought. That's the goodness of compost.
His neighbour's bananas look sickly. Gideon wants him to clean them up so pests don't transfer to his healthy plot. But, says Gideon, I can't arrest him if he won't listen. This is Gideon's experimental upland rice. Planting in rows makes it easier to weed.
When we started to weed for the first time, I fell asleep. My wife started to weed the whole garden alone, and since she died. As you see that, madam, sometimes it's challenging being the agriculture.
Gideon's orange trees need some attention. Paul advises removing diseased fruit. Adding compost and mulch will result in healthier trees that produce more fruit. The training day ends with a meal before they return to their villages. Tabu is one of the two field officers who visit farms using a motorbike provided by Operation Agri. Hilary, the other field officer, is checking how this community trainer is getting on with making his own pesticide from a mixture of African marigold, tephrosia, chilies, garlic, ash and soap. After soaking for a week, this can be used to spray against aphids and other pests. Pastor Bernard testifies to the impact this project is having.
It really portrayed a very clear picture to others. And they knew in Christ they share love and whatever and everything others have they share in unity. So it also brought people to Christ. And because of that we have got increased number of Christians in the church.
The people are full of praise to God for the help they've received. Kampala, the capital of Uganda, is very different to the rural villages, a busy modern city. But the poor areas on the outskirts have unmade roads and open drains. Operation Agri supports a homegrown project here, SDKF, setting development and keeping the foundation. It was started by some Christian university students. Led by computer expert Dennis Satala, the project gives computer training for a minimal charge.
Because our main aim is to help those people who are really poor, and most especially those who are orphans.
Tools with a Mission has donated both computers and sewing machines. The project has now started a course in tailoring clothes. Operation Agri helped to furnish the room and to pay the tailoring teacher, who is a pastor's wife. They learn to design and make children's and adults' clothing. They're very grateful to the Christians of SDKF for helping them to gain skills that will be a reliable source of income in the future. In the town of Mbali, East Uganda, Operation Agri supports a project run by a local church. Redeemed Church here started the Beersheba project to help vulnerable young girls, with help from Oasis worker Dave Caswell.
And they're seeing the lives of girls and families transformed there in social.
The project runs a course for girls who dropped out of school, giving them basic lessons in maths and English. They also teach health education and Bible stories. The Beersheba staff invite all the community to see the group from Tasso, the AIDS support organisation. Through song and drama, they teach people to take care and to persuade each other to take an HIV test. The performers are all HIV positive and emphasise the difference that medication makes.
I'm Amodine Margaret. I tested in 2002 and I was found to be HIV positive. I'm on the ARVs. I'm a mother to three children. I'm living positively with the virus. Take care. The virus is there looking for you.
The Beersheba community worker visits the families of the girls of the project, some of whom live with grandparents because they're orphans. Some of the girls' carers come to teach basket making. The girls have new skills and confidence thanks to the Beersheba project. Operation Agri is glad to be helping our partners in Uganda to serve people in Christ's name and transform lives.
If you'd like to know more about the work of the Bee Project, Operation Agri or Compassion, please go over to the website at minehead-baptist.com/sermons and there are links on there to find out more info. And of course, that's where you can also see the slides, leave a comment or send an email to podcast@minehead-baptist.com. So thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed and I'll speak to you soon.